Welcome to Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region. I'm Stella Fong. In this show, we talk to Marc Leberger of Georgette's Galettes. These small, palm-sized waffle treats are found online at the airport, at coffee shops, the Yellowstone Valley Farmers Market, and the Yellowstone Valley Food Hub. These soft, sweet, buttery Belgian cookies with a crunch are a tribute to his mother. Leberger's creations are not to be confused with the other galettes, the Belgian waffles made with yeasted bread dough, or the French round Danish pastry filled with fruit. Georgette's Galettes began in Billings after Marc Leberger's escape from life in Las Vegas during COVID. He found Big Sky Country a welcoming place for starting a business that would be continuing his family legacy. To not be interrupted by the sound of refrigerators, freezers, or air conditioners, we stand outside the kitchen he leases on Hesper Road for this interview.
Well, the Belgian galette is a typical waffle that was made by the homemakers in Belgium. These weren't made on the streets of Belgium, and their recipe is quite a bit different than, say, your typical Liège waffle or your Brussels waffle. These are more of a cake batter than a bread dough, whereas a typical Belgian waffle is a bread dough. It has a lot of yeast in it, and the galette has a lot more butter and eggs in it. So it's more of a cake, and it's best eaten at room temperature. You don't heat them up, you don't put syrup on them, nothing. You just eat them. It's just a snack. And you can do a lot more other things with them, which I am doing as well.
Georgette's Galettes are found packaged in a clear, sealed bag. They can be easily transported or opened up and enjoyed with a cup of coffee or glass of milk. So how did Leberger come up with making a business out of his mother's cookies?
It goes back to my heritage of kind of meeting the needs of the local community and seeing what they want and trying to find products that complement the local area. And so it all started when I started with the basic galette, which is just flour, eggs, butter, vanilla, sugar, and that's it. Pretty basic. We did add the pearl sugar years later. Before I moved to Montana, we've been doing that as well to give it that added crunch in there, which people really, really seem to love. It gives that people that surprising crunch they don't expect.
Leberger started his business in Las Vegas a couple of years before he relocated to Big Sky Country. From plain waffles, he ventured into creating this next variation on the classic recipe.
Then I decided that I wanted to do a Valentine's event. And I needed something red and something chocolatey. And I started searching the internet and finding out what other options I had, something that had fruit in it. And I came across ruby chocolate. It's a natural chocolate that's red that comes from the cocoa bean that way. And it tastes like a white chocolate, but a really decadent white chocolate. So I met the red requirement, I met the chocolate requirement, but then I needed the fruit. So came across freeze-dried raspberry powder. So it's just nothing added, no syrup, nothing like that. It's just straight up freeze-dried raspberry powder. And I added it to the chocolate and it was amazing. I started with the dark Belgian chocolate drizzle and then put ruby raspberry and I did the Valentine's show up in Helena and it was a hit.
What hit me was the Caramel Delight Dark Chocolate Drizzle Georgette's Galette that I picked up at the Billings Airport. On this day, as I was heading out of town, I grabbed the galette drizzled with Calabose 33% gold chocolate and 54% dark chocolate.
I use Calabose Belgium chocolate for all my products. Really, really good Belgium chocolate imported. They're the ones I got the ruby chocolate. So I started looking at other products that they offer and they actually made a caramel chocolate. And I'm like, well, I gotta try this. And I bought some and tried it and it was another hit right out of the park. And people love the caramel and they like the dark chocolate, but it's not caramel where it's sticky. It's an actual caramel chocolate. So it's all Belgium chocolate. And then I got the two flavors, the ruby raspberry and then you got the Caramel Delight, both all Belgium chocolate.
From chocolate, caramel, and raspberry, Leberger added another new flavor, but with an added rich dimension. This time he highlighted a fruit found in the wilds of Montana. These berries are red to black in color and super astringent with a bitter taste, especially when eaten raw.
I wanted to do the Lewistown Chokecherry Festival, and I wanted to do something with chokecherry. And I didn't really know much about chokecherry at the time, but I knew they make syrups and jellies out of it. And so I experimented. I wanted to create a ice cream sandwich. And so I started looking for chokecherry ice cream and Come to find out, nobody makes it. Nowhere in the United States. So I was like, okay, now how am I going to do this? So I started experimenting with jellies and putting the jellies in like a vanilla ice cream. And that didn't pan out very well. And I found a creamery out of Bozeman, and they're all natural ice cream, which is complements my product because I don't use anything artificial in my products. It's a company called Genuine Ice Cream. It's probably one of the best ice creams on the market right now in Montana. They were willing to work with me on creating the choke cherry ice cream. So rather than using the jellies that didn't pan out, I decided to make my own choke cherry concentrate. So I had to physically pick the choke cherries, clean them, cook them, and then find a way to press them and get the juice out. That was quite the experiment. I ended up buying a press, which is definitely needed for this type of product. But I made the juice, and then I'd cook it down, make a concentrate, and I gave it to my creamery. And she started working it into the ice cream and started adding it. And I said, you need to add more, and you need to add more, and you need to add more. And then finally, it got to a point where she put it all in, and it tasted exactly the way I wanted it to taste. So a real rich, creamy cherry flavor. And it takes away all the tartness and the bitterness away from the choke cherry. So it's a great compliment to have ice cream and choke cherry together.
Continuing the ice cream and galette combination, Georgette's Galettes took on another flavor, one that is very popular under the Big Sky. The new taste comes from small, red to black berries resembling blueberries that are prized for their sweet, tart flavor.
Recently, I decided I got to do something with huckleberry because, you know, everyone in Montana is crazy about huckleberry. And I had an ice cream sandwich that's huckleberry that I used the genuine ice cream, huckleberry ice cream. And theirs is all natural as well. They only use real huckleberries in their ice cream. So I looked online to find freeze-dried huckleberry. And again, nobody makes it. You can't find it anywhere. You can find blueberry, but not huckleberry. It's somewhat quite a bit different. So I ended up having to buy my huckleberries and then find a person to freeze dry them for me. And so I freeze dry them, and then I have a professional grinder to powder them up. And then I use that freeze dried huckleberry and I put it into a Calibo white Belgium chocolate. So it turns it into the purple color that you see in the huckleberry heaven that I call the huckleberry heaven drizzled chocolate. So I got the three flavors now, pretty much regulars. And the going saying is, you know, I tell people that the best way to eat them is upside down. That way the chocolate hits your tongue first. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's genius.
And Le Verger continues to create to come up with more flavor combinations that can be enjoyed upside down.
I'm coming up with new products. The key lime cream pie was my latest invention, and that's amazing. It's been selling like crazy. But people confuse it with an ice cream sandwich. They think it's an ice cream sandwich, and I gotta tell them it's not ice cream, but you can eat it like an ice cream sandwich. You can freeze it and everything and eat it just like it, but it's not ice cream. But now I'm looking to possibly expand that flavor now, because I had a pumpkin spice cream pie that I made for the holidays, and that sold like crazy. But it's a seasonal product, whereas the key lime, it can sell year-round. And so I'm looking at adding some unique flavors to complement that, so it kind of separates it from the ice cream.
The creation of Georgette's Galettes came with wanting new life beginnings while carrying on a mother's legacy.
Right after COVID, I got laid off from my job that I was working for 20 plus years, and I decided to venture out into a whole different industry, and that industry wasn't really panning out for me. Maybe I should have thought about it a little more before I jumped into it, but it drove me to Montana. And then when I got to Montana, there are so many farmers markets. And Georgette's Galettes actually started in 2011 in Las Vegas. But it was very hard for me to get something of a new product like that launched in a big city like Vegas. There's really no place to get your product out to market. So it never really went anywhere. It was always a side thing for me, but I've always had a dream to make it bigger than what it was. And then when things didn't pan out here for my new career, kind of relaunched it in the first two farmers markets, I sold out and I was like, okay, this is probably the way I need to go. And it kind of drived my passion even more. And that's how it started. It was just like a fluke. And then the next thing you know, it's controlled my life. And that's all I do now. So 100%.
The 100% control comes from the past, from skills learned in another career, witnessing how products are launched and what happens with hard work and diligence.
I was in the trade show convention business in Las Vegas. I probably produced every major trade show and convention you've ever heard or spoke about. It takes a toll on people because there's no life in it, because you go from one trade show to the next trade show to the next trade show. And the company that I worked for was the largest in the country, actually probably the largest in the world. And we just went from show to show to show, and there was no rest. You got a day off when the show opened. That was about it, because then you got to tear it out and you got to put the next one in. And so I was running a team of 20 people plus 450 electricians to help put the show in, and it was quite the task. I really enjoyed it, but this is more for me, and I really enjoy working as an entrepreneur and doing my own thing now and not working for the corporate industries.
And how did a resident of glitzy Las Vegas discover the more down-to-earth Montana?
When COVID hit, I had a year hiatus, and I decided to do some traveling. And some friends of mine said, hey, let's go up to Montana. And I said, okay, let's do it. We went up to Missoula and hung out there for a while, and I fell in love with Montana. And when I got back home, I started looking at opportunities in Montana. But I had no idea the press that was involved with the Yellowstone TV show that was involved, because I never watched it. I still haven't watched a single episode of it. But I know that was a motivation for a lot of people to move to Montana, but it had nothing to do with me moving to Montana.
While COVID may have forced him to journey north into Big Sky country, how did he end up in Montana's trailhead, the city of Billings?
I pretty much showed up to Billings sight unseen. So it was a stark contrast to Missoula for sure. But the funny thing is, Billings reminds me of a lot of Las Vegas when I grew up, because Vegas when I grew up was only 100,000 people. You know, it's a small town community. Everybody knows each other. And I miss that in Vegas, because I've lived there the last 30 years and I never knew who my neighbors were. It's too big. I'm not big into the big cities any longer. So prefer the smaller towns.
While growing up in Las Vegas, LeBerger was the son of parents who owned Cake World, a specialty bakery crafting custom cakes along with pastry, pies, cookies, and breads. Here, they shared the baking skills they learned in Belgium before immigrating to the States. Then later on, they started Leopold's Bakery, taking on his father's name.
My dad was a baker, and he accepted a job working for my mom's aunt. She had a bakery, and he ended up working for her. And then my mom showed up on the scene at one point in time, and my aunt says, hands off, you don't touch my niece. And that just egged my dad on even more. So, and next thing you know, they got married, and they decided that they didn't really want to be in Belgium any longer. So they traveled to Montreal, where they spoke French, and he did baking there. And then they had two of my siblings there that were born in Montreal. And then things were getting a little tight, so my dad shipped my mom back home to Belgium, where she was pregnant with my other sibling. And so she was born in Belgium, and so we got three siblings at that point. And then my dad came back to Belgium to grab her to head to the United States for another job opportunity in Arizona. And that's where they had another sibling of mine. And then my dad had another job opportunity in Las Vegas. And lo and behold, here I was. So I was born in Las Vegas, and I lived there all my life. And my parents lived there all our lives as well. They're buried in Las Vegas as well.
For LeBerger, his mother's galettes, out of all she baked, held the fondest place in his heart and stomach.
She would always make them during Christmas time, is typically when they would make those. And I would share them with my friends, and they're like, oh my gosh, these are the best. Can you get more of these, you know? Or, you know, every year they would look at Christmas time. It's like, hey, is your mom going to make those galettes again, you know? So it's just something that we ate all of our life. But in Vegas, my dad opened up two bakeries in Las Vegas, and then they turned one bakery into a restaurant slash bakery, where my mom was the cook for the restaurant side and my dad was the baker, and very successful and put kids through college and whatnot. So they're extremely hardworking individuals, and they never sold really galettes at the bakery. They just kept it at the house. So for whatever reason, not sure why, but they just never made them for the bakery. And it's just something that was always just a family thing. I just believe that these are something that's inherent to my family, something that my mom got from her mom. I remember traveling to Belgium and visiting and seeing my grandma, and she would have galettes already made and stored in the cellar, just in a, you know, a little crate, not refrigerated or nothing, and just go down there and grab them and eat them all day long.
It's heartwarming that LeBerger was able to experience these delicious memories of his grandmother and her galettes. However, when his parents were growing up, challenges dominated their lives.
They grew up during World War II as kids, and they had the Germans coming down their street, knocking down doors and stealing and taking everything. And my dad was in foster care for a while. His kids were, all his siblings were as well, because they took his dad away and put him in the German military. And, you know, they just took whatever they wanted there. And they struggled through a lot, but determined to do something great and hopefully going to carry that greatness on.
Already, their greatness has been honored in the Galettes. So who was Georgette? What was this woman like?
She was a soft-spoken woman. She loved to laugh, but she enjoyed making people happy with her food. And she would make Sunday dinner every Sunday. And I can see it in her face that, like, when all the plates were empty and all the bowls were empty, she did her job and she was happy with that. She was an amazing cook, and she just could whip stuff up in a flurry, and it just tasted amazing. And it's simple cooking too. It's nothing fancy, you know, it's just basic ingredients, but the quality and the kinds of ingredients and how they blend them just make it taste unbelievable. And it's very hard to find that now. But I do find it when I do go back to Belgium. I can get a taste of what her cooking was, you know, and how she learned. It's just, you know, family recipes that they do, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So, but she's used to cooking, and I'd be the one cleaning the pots and dishes all the time.
On one of his trips back to Belgium with his parents, his mother savored and celebrated the moments of being in her childhood home, away from the daily duties and responsibilities.
She rarely drank. I never saw my mom drink much at all until we went back to Belgium. And then we went to one of the citadels where the monks make the beer. And the beer is very strong there. We went there with her brother and her brother's wife. And my mom had a couple beers. And oh my goodness, she laughed like you couldn't believe. It was a great sight to see. See her having a great time and letting her hair down.
Le Verger started Georgette's Galettes with a business plan when he started the business in 2021. Over the years, he has learned how to be more effective in getting his product out to customers.
I learned some lessons with marketing, and I can't expect people to know what this product is. They like to assume that it's similar to things that they've had before. I get told many times, oh yeah, I've got this at Costco. No, you didn't. It's similar. It's a waffle. They sell Belgian waffles at Costco, but this is not Belgian waffle per se. It's a Galette Belgian waffle. But they taste it and they're like, oh, okay. Most people get it. They realize this is significantly different than your typical Belgian waffle. The marketing lesson that I've learned is that people don't know what it is until they try it. And when you have wholesale accounts that don't sample, people don't buy when they don't sample, especially if it's a new product. So I had a hard lesson to learn that most of my clientele that I secured years ago just didn't reorder simply because their product just sat on the shelf because people just don't know what it is.
With customers not really knowing what his product is, Le Berger has his work cut out for him.
I think I found a niche a little bit, but it's not for everybody to sell in these specialty markets, and it's not going to be in every grocery store. As much as most people would like to be, it's just not going to be there.
So he is methodically placing Georgette's Galettes in places where he believes his audience will understand and appreciate his product.
Right now, I can find them online, but it's very limited. I don't put anything that needs to be refrigerated or frozen online because I can't ship it anywhere. No one's willing to pay for the shipping. Who wants to pay for dry ice and all the weight and everything? I don't post a lot of that stuff on there. So I'm focused on airports, colleges, and coffee shops. But I'm working with like co-ops. I'm working with a community food co-op in Bozeman. They're looking at picking up my products. And I work with the Root Cellar Foods in Belgrade, their co-op as well. Slowly but surely picking up some more and more coffee shops. Early morning espresso has been a regular of my product. And I just picked up Rock Creek Roasters downtown. And also the local Yellowstone Valley Food Hub. I've been a part of them since practically the beginning, and they've been a great supporter of me. And I'm on the board now, been there so long that they asked if I could be a board member. And I said, hey, you know, I'll do anything I can to help out. And so I've been on the board for probably a couple of years now.
The Yellowstone Food Hub is a growers cooperative serving central and eastern Montana. Here, local food from 35 regional farmers, ranchers, bakers, and makers can be found along with Georgette Scalette's ice cream sandwiches and pastries. Customers can make a weekly order throughout the year that can be picked up at various locations in Billings, Laurel, and Red Lodge. While the galettes are available for sale during the weekly ordering, the ice cream sandwiches are only sold in the storefront that opens on Thursdays and Fridays. Let's now step into the kitchen to hear how the ice cream sandwiches are made.
When I was looking at ice cream vendors, I originally thought of Wilcoxon, but when I spoke to them, I found out that they use syrups in their ice cream. And I was like, I don't want anything artificial in my ice cream. So basically, the wafer's already been cooked up and packaged and boxed up, I should say, and ready to be used. So this is vanilla ice cream. Genuine ice cream uses real vanilla bean. And it's probably one of my favorites because it really complements the vanilla and the galette. So you don't compromise anything, any flavor at all. So it's just all vanilla, vanilla ice cream and vanilla wafers. So it's probably one of my favorites. So I'm getting my scooper hot in hot water. Make it easier to scoop. Grab a tray. Wafers here. So I also, besides just packaging and selling everything retail, I also make products for chefs. So these wafers, I do sell those to chefs if they wanted to make other products with them. Making breakfast sandwiches, be really creative. I've made breakfast sandwiches before for some events and they're unbelievable. Kind of like a take on the McGriddle from McDonald's, but way better. So these are just galette wafers. These are probably more conducive to your typical galette that you would find in Belgium if you did get them, because they're more of a wafer or cookie. These do not have the pearl sugar in them because the waffle iron is too thin, or the wafer is too thin, that it would smash the pearl sugar, so we don't use it. So we do about a 2.5 ounce scoop. So it's quite a bit for most ice cream sandwiches. I've never gotten any complaints that there was not enough ice cream in these. In fact, I get more complaints that it's too big.
It definitely is a very generous scoop of ice cream.
Yeah.
And you have the ice cream technique down because those are almost perfect balls.
Yeah, when you do this enough, you get become an expert at it, I guess.
I think it requires strength and finesse.
Yeah, and the key is having the ice cream at the right temperature. The key temperature for scooping ice cream is 11 degrees. If it's too cold, you're gonna really struggle to get it out of the tub, and it's just not fun at that point.
Plus, I'm sure you've had a lot of practice and you have a lot of strength, but it does look like it's fairly easy to scoop.
And vanilla is typically the harder ones to scoop because there's not a lot of additives to it. Seems like the chocolate is probably the softest one of all of them, because I'm guessing the chocolate and the cocoa butter that's in it. So the key to cream sandwiches is making sure the wafers are frozen as well. Because if the wafers are at room temperature and the ice cream is a little bit hard, you'll end up cracking all the wafers trying to smash them together. So we freeze the wafers, makes it easier to compact the ice cream into a sandwich.
And did you learn this from an expert, or was it out of just experimenting and working with the wafers?
Total experimentation. My parents never, I don't think, have ever seen a galette with an ice cream sandwich. So, but from what people say, there's nothing like it out there. But I didn't follow any set guidelines or seen anything online that resembles this.
Well, the galette itself is a blank palette. You can do all sorts of creative things with it.
Exactly. For Mother's Day last year at an event, I created a cherry jubilee. I used a regular size galette with a scoop of my choke cherry ice cream with some fresh whipped cream
And then I drizzled Luxardo cherries, the imported cherry that's in liqueur. And it's just an amazing cherry. And I drizzled that on top of the ice cream and the whipped cream. And it was quite amazing. A lot of good feedback. From smashing the wafer, when I put the topper on, I used just a 1 cup metal measuring cup and use that as a way to smash the wafer without cracking it.
It's an ingenious, practical tool there.
Yeah, you know, sometimes you just need to make up things.
Well, it's a sign of a good chef to be able to improvise.
And the funny thing is, I don't consider myself a chef, but I guess I make a lot of stuff that would make me seem like I'm a chef, but I don't claim to be. This is it. They're going to go back in the freezer to harden up a little more. So when I package them, I want them to be very firm. So if I stack them, they don't smash each other. We're going to put them in the freezer probably for another hour and then take them out and then put them in their packaging.
For the packaging of the ice cream treats, off-the-shelf bags or containers were not readily available. Research and ingenuity came into play to end up with the perfect wrap for the frozen products.
There is really no specific packaging out there for ice cream sandwiches. So again, I had to be creative and create something that isn't on the market. I needed something that was gonna be paper to keep the ice cream from getting gooey on the outside. So you use a paper to keep that sealed up. So the only paper I could find that was grease resistant, because the wafer has a lot of butter in it, I found a typical fry bag that works really well for my ice cream sandwiches. And I just use an ink stamp and stamp the fry bag with my logo, the flavor of the ice cream, and that's it. And then the ice cream goes in the sleeve bag that has been pre-stamped with the stamp on it, or the logo and the flavoring. And then they get wrapped up and then they go back into the freezer again.
The next time you have a lonely cup of coffee or a glass of milk, a Georgette Galette may be the perfect accompaniment. Many thanks to Marc Leberger for sharing a delicious pastry from a traditional family recipe. Music for Flavors Under the Big Sky, celebrating the bounty of the region, has been provided by Parker Brown. I am always thankful to you, listeners, for your continual support. May you always find delicious flavors in your life. I'm Stella Fong.